Welcome to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, clinical counselor and Catholic therapist, and co-host here on this show, along with Father John Sims Baker from the Diocese of Nashville, and also a professor of the Pontifical College Josephinum. On this show, Father and I offer practical insights and answer your questions on matters of faith, family life, marriage, and those areas where the challenge of life and faith intermingle. You can find us online at abidinginhope.com, and you can park your questions there for us to catch up with. We will use them on future shows. So anyway, it's good to see you, Father. It's always good to see you. And how are you?
Oh, Marianne, it's great. It's good to be back in the studio one more time. It's great.
But you know what, Father? You're disappointing me here a bit already.
What is that? Oh, I forgot.
Here it is. Let me ask
okay,
the question
we'll try again.
Take two. And Father, how are you today?
Marianne, I'm finer than a frog's hair.
And that's mighty fine.
Mighty fine. Sorry. So, I tell the seminarians that all the time. I guess I just used up my quota today.
I guess you did. Well, our listeners aren't used to that. So this is a real Southern, I think, little greeting, right?
You could say that's Southern.
That's Southern. So anyway, we're teaching people all around, all our listeners, to how to answer if someone says, how are you today? And you say, once again,
I'm finer than a frog's hair.
I'm finer than a frog's hair. And then I say, and that's mighty fine.
Mighty fine.
Okay. Well, anyway, Father, before we go further into our show and the questions that we have, would you lead us off in prayer, please?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you and glorify you this day, offering to you this time to use as you see fit, especially to bring the light of your hope in your fidelity, in your goodness, in that you are always true to who you are in every circumstance, especially those difficult times that we may face in our own lives. We offer this time up to you through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and these prayers as well. And we also ask the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we all pray together. Hail Mary,
full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, Father, one of the things I really love about Catholic radio is when we pray, and I have this vision of people driving around in their cars and everybody mouthing the words to the Hail Mary and then making the sign of the cross. And who knows what power that has out on the roadways around. People might glance over just in time to see you making the sign of the cross. And think about how you might bless their day if you do that.
I was thinking about the same sort of images, and reminded me of a priest friend that every time you talk to him, even on the phone, at any occasion, he would say, well, let's pray a Hail Mary before we just together over the phone or whatever. And I just thought, this is great.
It really is. I have a priest friend that way, too, though I haven't spoken with him for quite a while on the phone. And he will always end out before we say goodbye. You know, it's always, let's say a prayer before we say goodbye. So it's such a blessing for me to have a friend like that. So anyway, you know, I was kind of thinking about the show and what we might talk about. We do have some questions to go through today, but I came across a scripture passage that I think is probably very appropriate as well. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 to 9, and I think it's very relevant. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And why were they not destroyed? Why did St. Paul say that? Because there was hope, right? He had hope in the midst of all of the terrible things that were going on around and all of the disappointments and frustrations, but really the huge and tremendous challenges that they faced. And do you have any thoughts, anything to add to that?
Well, you know, St. Paul, I think, is a great example of hope. He himself shares, and we can read about both in the Acts of the Apostles and in his own letters, just many numerous things that he, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the rejection, all these sort of things that he faced. And even though sometimes those things were very difficult for him, he really just always came, bouncing back. It reminds me of, in talking about hope, of another great figure of hope, I think, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this as well, but is St. John Paul II.
Oh, yes.
There's a great biography by George Weigel called The Witness to Hope.
Yes.
And again, if you think about St. John Paul's life, there's so many incidents. Just about every sad thing that could happen to somebody at just about every point of life, beginning from his childhood, losing his mother as a very small child.
Sure.
Just everything, right up to the very end, with his struggle with Parkinson's disease, losing his ability to speak and really control of his body. And yet, always resilient, never discouraged. And that doesn't come from wishful thinking. That doesn't come from some sense that I'm going to, the power of positive thinking. It comes from relying on God and knowing and trusting in him, which we see as you, that beautiful passage you read to us from St. Paul, a man of hope. A man of hope.
And, I had the privilege of meeting Pope John Paul II in his final years. And to see how in the midst of all of his suffering, he maintained a sense of joy even, which I would find difficult myself in the midst of that suffering. But there was a smile, there was joking, there were things that, oh my goodness, that in the midst of all of that, the hope that he had brought out joy that he could share with the rest of us and really teach us how to live our lives even in the midst of such suffering and pain. And
that's precisely what our current Holy Father, Pope Francis, the joy of the gospel, calling us to live the joy of the gospel, because that's what people in the world, it's one of the most effective ways to evangelize, is to show the joy of the gospel.
Yeah.
And again, that's not an act that we put on. That's not, it can't be that. That's not sustainable in the modern lingo. But in that reliance on God, that trusting surrender to him and hope, that he is always faithful, even though we may not see it at every moment, can help us be joyful, even in the midst of great, crushing sorrows or struggles.
Sure, and it's all an act of grace, I guess. That's what happens, in the midst of that, and that's what gives us the ability to put on Christ in the midst of our struggles and then receive the grace that comes with it and attain the joy. So we have some people who have given us some questions here, Father. Are you ready?
Let's hear it. Let's see what we can do.
Okay, so here's first question. And I will say once again before we get into the questions that you, too, can join this show by sending your questions to abidinginhope.com. That is our website. It's continually a work in progress. And so we will be adding things as we go along, but you can send your questions to us there, and they will be emailed to us. And we'll have more to talk about on our future shows. Right, Father?
And just to help you, that's what we really want to do.
That's what we want to do. That's what we're about. Because we all have times in our lives where, we're not so joyful and we're not so hopeful. But we want to show you how to attain that. So our first question here is from, it's an anonymous person. It's a 46-year-old male. And here's what he has to ask. I have been feeling despair over the death of a couple close family members recently, increasing stress at my job requiring longer hours, and more stress at home with my wife and children ages 8, 11, and 13 due to the increased work expectations. I try to keep everyone happy at work and at home, but I just can't win. I feel like I'm on a sinking ship. Any thoughts on how I can deal with my despair and improve my family relationships? I bet you have something to say about that, right, Father?
Well, reflecting on that, especially in light of the virtue of hope, this gentleman who's written in, there are two ways, principally the Catechism of the Church and in the Church's tradition teaches us to sort of go against the virtue of hope. Mm-hmm. One is one that he mentions explicitly here is despair.
Yes, yes.
And I think that we understand that we can see how despair is, you know, a violation of hope, mm-hmm. or a lack of hope. Mm-hmm. But there's another one as well that's called presumption. And I think that the presumption, it very often can be seen as just not really relying on God, mm-hmm. or presuming on his mercy as well. But in this case, I think we see that this man is experiencing despair, and it's very understandable. He has a lot of stress in his life. Mm-hmm. He has things he's trying to do. It doesn't just seem like the ends can meet, really. But I would point out a few things that I think he's living, even though he's obviously a man of faith. He's somehow forgetting his faith at times here, forgetting that God really is present. Mm-hmm. He has this very striking image. I feel like I'm on a sinking ship. And it reminded me of something I read about Cardinal DiNardo of the Archbishop of Galveston, Houston, during the flooding in Houston from the hurricane there. Mm-hmm. And he was preaching to the people and trying to encourage his people there in the midst of that terrible situation. We have to remember, though, that Jesus is in the boat. And that's referring to the time where Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. A storm came up on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples basically freak out. Mm-hmm. And they come up and they wake up Jesus and they, are you just going to let us drown? and Jesus says, well, don't you remember? I'm here. I'm in the boat. What you know? And that's what Cardinal DiNardo was trying to remind the people in Houston in the midst of this huge tragedy. Remember, though, Jesus is here. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would like to. This man actually, he feels like he's on a sinking ship.
Sure,
I can completely understand that. That I'm sure that's what it feels like. We were joking about that quotation before, if God is for us, why are they all against us? We can feel that way. But that's not the right answer. That's not the right quotation. It's not actually a sinking ship. Jesus is on your boat with you. And you need to go find him and maybe wake him up if you need to.
Yeah, or
you
call could out just, to him.
You could just trust that he's there. But if you need to wake him up, he's okay with that.
Yeah.
And remember him. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. Very easily, when we start going down, we sort of pull in and start relying on ourselves, mm-hmm. and sort of become what I've read some people call practical atheists. Not that we don't believe in God, but we are living like we don't believe in God, that God isn't really there.
It's just that I have to do the work.
I've got to do it. Mm-hmm. It's all on me.
Yeah.
You can hear that in this, and it's understandable how we get there.
I'm trying to make everybody happy, and I just can't win.
Right. And But that's leaving somebody out of the picture.
Yeah.
It's leaving the most important person out of the picture.
That's right.
And so maybe back up a little bit or look up a little bit and see the big picture. Mm-hmm. Because in that picture, Jesus is in that picture. Mm-hmm. But you may have forgotten about it.
Right.
And we always have to remember him.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that going to Mass helps us to do. There's a part of the Eucharistic prayer at Mass that's actually called the anamnesis, which means the remembering. And that's why God gave us a memory. Mm-hmm. It's to remember the good things that he has done. Unfortunately, either we forget those things or sometimes we use our memory to remember the bad stuff instead.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but the memory is for the good stuff.
Sure.
Especially the good stuff God has done for us.
We live in such a negative world, too, don't we? So we're fed, you know, the pump is constantly primed with negativity. So that's where our brain seems to go first, is the negative. That's what we remember. You know, Father, I was thinking about this, too, that there are other people in this picture. So
Absolutely. It's
not all... it's not all just this man, but I'm envisioning him. He's coming home from work or whatever after a hard day, and the wife might just be, the kids are screaming and everybody has needs, and the wife is you know, whatever her day has been, she may be just like having no patience with anybody by that point in time, too. So it's important to for this man to, without always thinking, you know, I have to do all of this, there's a way of just looking at those family members and thinking, all right, I'm feeling my own stress, but there's obviously other stress here. So it's turning outward rather than inward. It's looking at what is going on in the other people's lives, particularly my wife, and how is she, what has she been dealing with today? And maybe if the two of them could come together, he could ask, oh my goodness, what's going on? Even though he's just totally blown out of the water by his day and everything else and all, he has to largely probably provide for those children. That's not the case in every time, but oftentimes the father is the main breadwinner. And so to talk with his wife and say, how was your day? What's going on? Let's do this together. What can we do together? And figure out if you can get through that night. You know?
Absolutely.
And then make time for prayer that night and time for fun somewhere in your lives together.
Exactly. That always turning out rather than turning in. Turning out, remembering God. But exactly as you say, turning out towards the other people in this situation. The wife and the children. Giving there. I had a good friend of mine who actually is a psychologist said that when you have a situation of any sort of conflict or something in a family or between people, about the only way it can really be healed is when one person is willing to be Christ.
Exactly.
And that means to step out, to take the risk, to come home, for example, as you suggested for this man. And even though you may have had a terrible day and maybe unreasonable expectations placed on you at work or whatever that might be that he mentions, but come and as you come in the door, greet your wife and ask about her day.
That's right.
Reach out to her.
It's helping the marriage. Because there's so many reasons why. Number one, we can make an assumption this is a sacramental marriage, I guess. And even if it wasn't a sacramental marriage, you have three children that's lives are on the line here as well, and one wife and yourself. And, you know, hoping to eventually get to heaven and bring your and take your children along and your wife along. There's so many good reasons to stop and to be Christ in this situation.
And when you go out like that, that in a way is an invitation to the other party, in this case the wife, to respond in the same way. Now, she
That's
might
right.
not.
Well, and it
she
may
might
take
bite
her.
Your head off.
Oh, she might.
but it makes that option there. Mm-hmm. It opens the door.
That's right. And you know what? That bite, even if she did turn around and bite your head off, that's saint making,
right.
You know, the process.
And the same thing then with the children as well. You
that's
know,
right.
To reach out and so there really is hope here.
That's right.
There
There's
really
hope.
Is. And I think that's the message. The Jesus is on the boat and there are things that we can do, like you say, relying on his grace. Mm-hmm. Relying on his mercy, on the sacramental graces they've received, remembering them.
Remembering
them.
Remember God's grace, God's goodness, God's mercy. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, Catholic counselor in Columbus, Ohio, and my co-host is Father John Sims Baker. He is a priest of the Diocese of Nashville, Tennessee, and also a professor at the Pontifical College Josephinum. Our goal here with Abiding in Hope is to be here for you, to answer your questions, all of the things that you might have, practical insights on faith and family, marriage, the challenges, just the challenges and struggles of daily life, and how do we turn to God and have some other practical help along the way that might be some good tips to help you get out of despair or presumption and into hope. And so, Father, we have another question. Let's see. We've got a number of questions here. And since we're getting a little bit low on time, let's talk about this question, which came from Bob. Is it possible to sin against the virtue of hope, and how? I think, you know, we might have touched on some of this with that last question, but and maybe what Archbishop Chaput had to say about some things. So maybe you can talk about that a little bit more.
Well, again, obviously, again, one way to sin against the virtue of hope is through despair. And despair is basically giving up on God, not believing he is going to be faithful. And this is one of the great tricks of the devil. Even before you get to despair, discouragement even.
Sure.
Hear those little voices, those discouraging words that are spoken to us. Those are not coming from God. The devil loves to do that. He loves to get us discouraged. He loves to hope to lead us into despair, because that closes us in.
Mm-hmm.
Basically closes us in on ourselves.
Sure.
And then he can just sort of beat up on us at that point. And so hope, again, like everything else in the Christian life, is always outward.
Mm-hmm.
And reminds us of the faithfulness of God. And as you were suggesting with your practice, if you can get people who come to you who are experiencing family difficulties or something else to stop and for a moment and acknowledging the difficulty, but to think about the other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, to
sure.
think about and the resources that are there. That can help to lift this, to rekindle hope.
You know, Father, too, I'm thinking that when someone is so turned inward, not only is it beneficial for them to get involved with other people's lives so that they feel like they're doing something and they're not just wallowing in their own pain, but also you think about turning outward, and there are so many good resources. I mean, there are priests. There's the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacraments of the church, in whatever way, turning outward to those things, going there to meet Christ
mm-hmm.
in those things and receiving, and not, because you're not going to get that if you stay in your own head and in your own despair.
Right. One thing I would say, one little practical tip that you can do anytime on your own is prayer of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great antidote to despair and discouragement. Again, it's directed outward,
mm-hmm.
and you can do it anytime. You don't have to go to anyone else,
sure,
anywhere else.
Sure.
So.
Now, it's probably also difficult to be thankful in those times when you're feeling so crushed, right? But it's a good reminder.
It is.
If there's one thing you remember.
Remembering,
that's right. If there's one thing you remember, in all things, give thanks, right? Even those difficulties, because they're there for some reason in your life to bring you closer. You have another thing you wanted to say.
I just wanted to touch
sure.
again on presumption. I know we're at the, again, that and presumption, strictly speaking, is presuming on God's mercy, you know, that we're sort of taking it for granted, taking God, you know, for granted. And we can think how we can do that. But I think it also can come from that sort of practical atheism we were talking about before,
mm-hmm.
that we just live as if everything depends on me and don't surrender to God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bow down in faith before him. And so that's the other way. It's sort of the flip side that we can sin against hope. Again, we're trusting in our own faithfulness rather than in God's faithfulness.
That I have to take care of this. Only I can do this,
right.
Then you're saying. It's my responsibility, which some things probably are, but it doesn't, the outcome of everything doesn't rely on you
right.
necessarily.
And I think
right?
as St. Teresa of Calcutta said, you know, God never, you know, asks us to be successful. He asks us to be faithful. We can't guarantee the outcomes of things. We're not really responsible for that. But to be faithful to God, realizing he'll always be faithful to us.
Sure. And I think of times when there's so much despair in people's lives where they feel like, I have no future. Why not just pull the trigger?
Mm.
You know, I have no future. Why not pull the trigger? And or whatever, you know, I'm using that trigger figuratively, really. And again, sometimes there's only, in those moments, there's not much that you have to rely on but faith. You know, the family may have turned against you, everybody else in life, but, you know, maybe somewhere along the line there was a seed of faith that was planted yes. in you. And that seed of faith has not blown out. No. It's there. It's glimmering.
And to trust always in God's mercy. Again, right. Pope Francis, you know, points us to that again and again and again. God's mercy is always present. We only have to turn ourselves to Him. With the slightest movement of the heart.
That's right.
And again, and know that He's with you.
That's right.
In His merciful love that swallows up everything.
Yeah. What a way to end, Father. We're at the show flew by so quickly. It's such a blessing to have you here with me again on Abiding in Hope. I'm Marianne Jepson, Catholic therapist here in Columbus, Ohio. And my co-host for the show is such a privilege to have Father John Sims Baker. He's a priest of the Diocese of Nashville and a professor at the Pontifical College Josephinum. So, Father, would you send us out with a blessing, please?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And until next time, remember these things. Remember God's mercy, and remember that there is always hope. And we look forward to having you back with us on Abiding in Hope in a future show. Take care and God bless.